I want you to turn in your Bibles. I baited you a second ago. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. All of you have heard me say over the last few weeks that I've been mandated since January, the very first of the year, to teach about the basics. And then when we start getting into some meat, and we're going to get into a little bit of meat today, you can handle it. How many of you know the Bible says that we need to not be babies, children, just drinking the milk, that we need to get on some meat? Amen? And in order to get on the meat, you had to go through those milk stages of basics. And the basics seem like they're just very simple, you know. Faith. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the word, not someone's opinion, you see. And that's the very principle, basic ways of Christianity is faith. Believing in something that we cannot see. When you're believing God for a horse or a truck or whatever to pay your bills, you can't see it at the start, but faith is you're believing God to provide whatever you're believing for. Now, you can't have faith when you already have it. You know, I'm having faith for this truck that I bought last year. Obviously, we know that's not faith, right? Faith is believing in a God you cannot see, even though you see His creation. If I titled this message, and let me say it this way. The title of this message is Behave Like a Christian. Listen up, class. Behave like a Christian. Romans, let's go chapter 12. Back up and let's begin reading in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in prayer or in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those, verse 14, who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's a great teaching here, but I need to set it up. I need to set it up in your mind, because you've got to understand that for me, May the 10th, 1979, Otis Baptist Church, outside of Carlsbad, New Mexico, is when I walked down the aisle, Vacation Bible School, and I gave my heart to Jesus. At that very minute, the Bible says I was translated out of the kingdom of sin and death, the kingdom of the world, into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The problem with a lot of people is they go to a service at a rodeo or at a whatever service that gives a salvation plan. They give their heart to Jesus. They put on a helmet of salvation without the understanding that now they're born again. They don't operate, or shouldn't. They can, but they shouldn't operate in that kingdom of the world through sin and death, the curse. And they don't realize that now, since they gave their heart to the Lord Jesus, that they're in a new kingdom. So that's why Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God. And if you're seeking first the kingdom, that means you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, and you operate differently because you're operating in the kingdom. So when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the kingdom of God literally means is a method on how you're supposed to live here like heaven. It's God's way of doing things. And I'm telling you, that is very basic to Christians that most of the time they don't get a hold of in the early days of salvation. And they've been used to this one way of living, which is the world's way, the fearful way, the relying on everybody else but God. I mean, we go to the banker first. We'll go to the doctor first. And I'm not saying all those that were created by God aren't good to go to. There's nothing wrong with going to the banker or to a doctor. But when you're seeking first the kingdom and you're doing things in the kingdom of God, then it's better if we go to the great physician first. And we seek the wisdom of God. Give me some more, girl. You used to live with me and my wife, so she got a lot of the Rosses in her. There's something about having an understanding of who you are, kids, in Christ Jesus. Because, man, so many times people don't know who they are. And if the world tells you you're no good, or you don't know enough scripture, or you don't pray enough, you're not worthy. Well, we begin to believe all that junk, right? And then, if you meditate on all that garbage, then it comes out of your mouth eventually. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But in order to survive in these days, with all hell that's breaking loose, I mean, they're ticked off because we're trying to save taxpayer dollars. Causing riots, vandalism, firebombing like a stinking terrorist. When a man that has plenty of cash and doesn't have to do this stuff. I'm not afraid to get political. Now, I'm not saying that that becomes God, but the reason prayer got taken out of schools because we didn't stay hooked and we just let it get taken out, and now our school system's in bad shape. Howdy was talking about it before when we were, you know, he's a teacher and a coach. And I don't know how it came up, but he just started talking about, wow, our system. I said, well, how do we get our system better in education? He goes, the first thing he said, discipline. Because they don't discipline anymore. Ha! They did me when I was in school. I got the third bus report, y'all. You know, if you get the first bus report because you acted up on the bus. And we had to ride the bus home. And I got the second one. But that third one was no bueno. Woo! I knew I was going to get a whooping with the paddle at school. And then I knew when I got home I was going to get it again. So I devised a plan before I got the licking at school. And I don't know why I did it, but I put magazines in my pants. So you know the principal saw a deformed booty when they said bend over. But the worst part of it is when I had to bend over, and I'm talking that big old long piece of wood with holes in them. And boy, when he did, he didn't say a thing. But when he hit those magazines, it sounded like an atomic bomb. Ba-boom! You know what happened? He made me pull my pants down. And I got it bare-bootied. Oh, you go to prison for stuff like that now. You're still in prison. Sure enough. When I got home, my mom said, heard you got third bus port, now you're kicked off the bus for 3 days, and we both work while you're trying to get home. Bend over. And I mean, my mom gave it to me. She's visiting somewhere so I can talk about her. Is she watching? Guess what else happened? When Dad got home, he said, I heard you got a third bus report, and now Mom is going to have to come pick you up because I'm a ways off. Bend over. I said, this is child abuse. The reason, though, that prayer was taken out of school is godly men and women like us backed up. No, we're just about love and Jesus Christ and we don't need to be into controversy. And we just backed up. And one person got it taken out. Well, now, since we're a tad bit more educated and bold, why don't we start walking back up with our shoulders back and our chest out, and we bring this word of God. Now, we're doing it in the right way, but why don't we take back the authority that God gave us from the beginning? That's what that class is going to be about on Tuesday. You knowing, sister, who you are in Christ. My brother, you need to know. I mean, you're big enough. You need to know who you are in Christ. You need to know that when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus, you don't act like that world any longer. But you got to stand. Remember when the word says when you have done all you can do to stand? Stand. You just keep standing. Don't you allow. It's kind of like that mule. And I've done this illustration before, but man, when you got that sure-footed mule, my dad used to guide hunts in the Guadalupes of New Mexico. And I'm talking about there would be little trails that they would have to go that were barely big enough for a horse to cross. And if you look down, it dropped. It was a long way. So they'd tell you, don't look down. Old mule, not a big deal. He'd just right through it. Why? Because he had sure footing. And that's what we need in the world that we live in. living in the kingdom of God. We just got to have sure footing because we're going to still live around the curse. We're living in the world of sinning death, but as a Christian, we don't live of it. We live in a different kingdom. We've got to start behaving like a Christian, like a believer, and not like that world. Because the world is going to be the opposite of faith. The world's going to be constant fear. That's why there's one big religious group that they do everything in fear. That's why they'll blow you up so that you believe in what they are preaching. Well, we don't do that. We believe in a couple of principles that I'm going to teach you that we find right here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. The very first start of it, what does it say? Say it loudly. Are y'all there? Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Say it with me. Let love be without hypocrisy. Love has to be the guiding principle in Christian relationships, not only with just fellow believers, but even with non-believers. Love has to be the guiding principle, y'all. I'm talking about even with enemies, with people that stabbed you in the back, that's done you wrong. I'm not saying go in fellowship and you know, yoke with a person that's done you wrong. But by golly, they can't. Hang on a second. Oh, that's the blessing right there. Thank you, Lord. That's the blessing. That, by the way, just ask my family and Dalton and Jet and Howdy and all of us that rope and ride. Thank God for a covered arena. Amen. But love has to be the guiding principle even with your enemy. Because the Apostle Paul right here is very specific. He mentions specific Christian duties that are to transform us, to characterize that transformation, I believe, of Christian living. That's why this message is entitled, Behave Like a Christian. Because if you allow love, not a perverted love, y'all have heard me talk about the enemy that perverted love. I'm talking about agape love, God's kind of love. Because if you allow that love to be the highest standard in your life as a Christian, it will dominate all of your living. You won't get mad, ticked off when people come against you, when the world comes against you. Because see, that's why there's trials and tribulations, y'all. Is the enemy, since we live in the world around the curse, we've learned earlier that Jesus that lives on the inside of you and I has redeemed us from that curse. All we've got to do now is start behaving like Christians and not like the world. That's why I don't have to go around telling anybody that I'm a Christian. Matter of fact, I don't have to go around telling anybody that I'm a pastor. I don't have to make that. You know I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of the church. Reverence. No, I just walk. I walk in my calling. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I know that I'm the head, not the tail. I have boldness. I mean, and people's talked about it. I remember a guy ministering in El Paso, Texas one time and said, "The greatest thing I love about you, don't ever lose it, is your boldness." And I've always remembered that. I think it was the Lord that was using me to just build me up, because I've always been bold. I mean, don't come into this church thinking you're going to run it. You're in for a heap of trouble, because that would be out of order and very ungodly. Because God did, if you're going to run the church, He would call you to pastor up here, and I would go and do what I needed to do out there. But He didn't. He called me. Not in an arrogant way, though. He called me to lead under His authority. And I've got to do it out of love. That's why, man, you mess with one of my flock, someone that I'm responsible to speak into your life, and God has planted you here at this church, man, I get ticked off when I see that the devil's trying to attack good folk. And I do. And if you allow me to pastor, I'm going to bat for you. You're not going to hear me pour on all the junk that they're spewing and vomiting on somebody else. No, I'm going to be for you. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like an old mother hen, man. Now, I'm a rooster, but I'm just saying. But that mother hen, you messing my kid? Did you look at my kid wrong? That was a peck. I kind of hurt my neck a little bit, but. Or, you know how some of y'all are? Don't you mess with my family. And I mean, you'll get up there. You know, I mean. Because that's how a pastor is. Uh-uh. Yeah, maybe you did do something wrong. But thank God for grace and mercy, because we did the same wrong probably. Preacher or no preacher. See. Love has to be, that's why, man, I broke my heart just a little bit ago because my daughter called, and she just called broken, and her horse, they're at San Angelo, they run in the morning, and so Jamie is there with London, and her Paco horse, she has two really good horses, but Paco, they were not even, they were busting these horses out. And the race horses, I mean, you get into a long field somewhere, and Jamie's mom has this long pasture, just dirt, just farmland. And, man, you just bust that horse out. And it just teaches them to run. And you still got to get them collected, like when you're running barrels, because they got to start stopping to turn. But you want them to learn how to run. Especially going home, right? I mean, because that's, or a racehorse has to run a certain distance. And the Paco horse started tying up. And tying up is just when those old muscles start cramping. And, well, he's better today. They got fluids in him last night. And all it is just dehydration and things that athletes tend to be with. But it still broke Daddy's heart. Because that's my girl. Same with Seth. If he come and he just was broken in some way, man, I'm fighting. I'm standing for him and I'm standing for her because, man, they're my kids. Same with being a pastor, you see. But we can't do it without that principle called love. Because if not, then we're going to get into sin. We're going to get angry. Now, I'm not talking about when the Ephesians says to be angry but sin not. Because sometimes it's okay to get just dadgum mad. Not in a sinful way, but mad that the devil is attacking you. And there's a time that you take authority in Jesus. I've done it. Me and Howdy have done it over and over at this church. When things that you don't even know about, people that have just come against us, have driven down the road speaking curses about our church. I've taken authority in Jesus' name as the leader that God has planted here. Well, that's what we need to do in our own personal lives. We've got to start behaving like a Christian, but because if you don't, then you're just going to go out and try to get someone back, you see. But man, God is so gracious that love is without hypocrisy. So that's why he says in 9, to abhor what is evil. Don't fall for it, in other words, but cling to what's good. Now, y'all know, I've always taught it like this. God is good. The devil is bad. God's good, the devil's bad. Okay? Anything good, the Bible says, comes from above. All good and perfect gifts come from above. But anything bad, there's a devil that's wanting to steal, John 10:10, kill, destroy. Okay? So, since we live in a world and we're going to be around a bunch of bad things, we're going to hear a bunch of curses and bad things, we're going to see constantly bad things and curses, we can't be moved by those things because we have to behave like a Christian. And I'm not saying we all haven't fallen and we haven't done things like a Christian. But that's why I try to teach my family, you got to control. You got to control your emotions. Because if you don't, they will rule you. But man, when you control them, you know what that is? Remember when the Bible says that Satan's like a roaring lion? I mean, he wants to eat sheep. Seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, God is saying today that lion is only a fallen angel, has no authority because the fierce God is the one that lives on the inside of you. And even though you're around lions wanting to eat the flock, you are protected by the blood of Jesus, but it starts with love. We're not going to let our emotions rule us. We're not going to let that spirit of anger rule us. We're not going to let that spirit of lying control us. We're not going to let that spirit of insecurity rule us. We're not going to let the... And it can go on and on and on and on. But when you find out who you are in Christ, and you operate by behaving like a Christian, then you got to figure out what Christians act like. Well, this is what they act like. Cling to what's good. Be kind. Be affectionate one to another. I'm not talking about perversion. I'm talking about just being friendly. I turned on this street, and there were about 6 cars coming. I waved at all 6 of them and didn't give a wave back. I want to chase them all down. But then I remembered, no, I got to behave like a Christian. You get up north, though, Lubbock and all those, it's just more calm for some reason. And man, they're having their hands out waving at you. I don't know, it's just a different hospitality. But listen, this has to be taught. Given in honor, given preference one to another, not lagging in diligence, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's behaving like a Christian. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. Woo, Jesus. Man, that'll preach for a while right there, right? I mean, because when you're right in the middle of the battle, that's when, you know, yeah, faith has to prevail. But there's times when you got to let God do your battling. When you're a married couple, it's very important that as a pastor, I don't preach to my wife. Mm-mm. I learned that watching a lot of pastors trying to pastor their wife. No. Mm-mm. No, you're one with her or him when you marry. And even though I'm the head spiritually and I'm going to lead my family in the right ways, I don't preach to my wife. You know who does? Holy Ghost. It's a lot better that way, y'all. There's no fighting. I'm telling you, no, the Spirit of God knows all things, and He can deal with her not cooking chicken fried steak. All right, I'm kidding. All right, Now, let me get to the second one, because love is the first one. It's the guiding principle to a Christian. And we have to start behaving like Christians. That's why constantly the Bible says, slow to anger. Slow to anger. Keep your mouth shut. Because we'll try to take control. We'll get in the flesh. And we're needing to behave like a Christian. So there's a lot of times when you hold your tongue. And you don't want to. Guaranteed. Now, I'm not talking about someone slapping you upside the head. Uh-uh. No, no. I can show you some moves. No, I'm not talking about just letting them beat you up. No, there's defending. Thank God for that. But when you operate love, God will cause you to discern things. Okay, hey, don't go there. Go around that way. You see, we got to start behaving like a Christian. Okay? So number one, love is the guiding principle. But here's the second thing. Hospitality is the fruit. Man, we've lost that, it seems like. I'm not talking about us, but I'm talking about our country in general. Man, there's something about hospitality. I'm constantly looking for people to give to. I just want to bless them, man. I'm a friendly guy. You know, just ask my family. I'm gonna visit with people. I'm gonna build you up. I won't tear you down. I'm on them all the time. We don't tear people down. We build them up, boy. Because it's easy in the world system, not the kingdom of God, but in the other kingdom of sin and death, to not build people up, even in a joking way. So I want to be around people that builds up. I want edification, praise God. I want you to tell me, hey, you can do it, Pastor Corey. Come on, you can do it. I had a rope at Huntsville, me and Seth and Dalton and the other contestants in the steer roping in water, mud. At Huntsville, it was perfect. The night before London ran barrels, it was beautiful. It was perfect ground. It had come a good rain, but it was good ground. But then it rained at night while we were asleep, and I mean, it was water standing. Well, I had an opportunity to be tempted with a little anxious about, is my horse that I'm riding going to handle the mud? Because he's a newer horse. We just been training him. And he's a made horse, but, you know, you're getting off of a horse in the steer roping with a rope on the steer's head, laying on his side, and a horse, there's no neck rope to control the horse like in the calf roping. This horse just has to go off in the opposite direction. I have to go that way. The horse has to go that way. And then when I say, whoa, he has to stop. Well, there were lots of horses, huh, Seth? There were lots of horses that ran off. And you had to go catch those. But, of course, it was steers that were getting up because they didn't want to lay down in water. Understandable. Man, I'm telling you, I started speaking over this horse. I laid my hands on him and prayed. I won second in the first round, and he worked awesome. I forgot to pray on the second one, and he went. The steer got up, and then he peeled to the right and headed to the corner. Stop him, you know. Listen, we got to start behaving like Christians. And the second principle is hospitality, because really, hospitality is fruit. Let's read on right here. Go to... We just stay right where in 11, verse 11, Romans chapter 12. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's why we sing that song, keep on praying. Don't you give up. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those that persecute you. See, that's when it starts talking about blessing your enemies. There's something about being hospitable. There's something, I mean, you can ask anyone in my family. We've always had someone that's lived with us. I mean, just because we want to bless. It's just how we are. I mean, then they get to see all the bad that happens in a family. You know, but hey, no, we just, our hearts are to bless. Right now, it's Dalton. Dalton, he lives, I bless that son of a gun. I mean, he's like a son. But I tell you what, he got on that tractor yesterday with another boy named Selick, and they fixed all the ruts in my driveway by the barn. I was so proud. You know the ruts you got to go over cleaning this little apartment? And he just, but see, that's how we are. I want to, hospitality is something. I just want to be a blessing. You see, that's Christian behavior. Now, when you keep going, and I'm done. But when you keep going in these scriptures, what does it start talking about? Your enemies. And blessing those that are not very nice to you. I mean, in other words, I've always told y'all this, remember? You should always have a heathen friend. So that that heathen friend that's here comes down to your level, not you to theirs. Amen. Amen. But when they get saved, because when you know who you are in Christ and someone hangs around you as a man of God or you as a woman of God and they're just a tad bit wild, you've got some temptation. You're either going to get wild with them or you're going to show them, hey, I have a joyful time serving my God. Not with hypocrisy, not with goody two-shoe, better than thou. No, just knowing who I am in Christ. Hey, you want to hang around me? It's full of joy. I'm full of joy. Or you can hang around the bar. You get what you get. Okay? There's a temporary joy there. It will not last. They're going to have fun for a short time. And then it never turns out with Christian behavior. So I'm saying today, the basics of faith is to know how to handle things when you go through them. Key word, through them. You got to get through a trial and tribulation, and how you handle it is how you come out. I'll end with this story. I was watching what they call the BFI. It's the one of the largest team opens in the world. Been going on, I think, started in the 70s. A guy named Bob Feist. And it was at Reno, Nevada for a long time. I roped in it, and you had to be a professional because it was the largest rope, and I think it pays about $100,000 to win it. And you got to be good. Well, they've moved it from Reno, Nevada to Guthrie, Oklahoma to the Lazy E. And that arena is probably two times of the outdoor arena out here. And that outdoor arena is 150 by 300. So it's a good 600 long. They may not use all of it, but I mean, it's long. And you have to have a very fast horse on the head and side, because whoever catches six head the fastest is who wins. And I mean, it's a very lucrative, privileged roping to win. And it's hard to win. In the 20 years of me roping at that roping with the conditions the way they are, in 20 years I never made the short round one time in the BFI. I wrote 5 steers, but never the 6th one. I mean, I've been so close. I was 1 or 2 out several times, but, you know, you can't rope legs. You can't break a barrier. It's got to be crisp, clean. A cowboy comes out on his on his horse, now we know was another Roper's young, prestigious, bred head horse. And he takes about two jumps out there, and his back end went out. And everybody thought he might have broke his back. And it was devastating. They shut the roping down. I mean, it was a long time, because then they had to figure out how to get this horse out of the arena. And I'm telling you, this is not a cheap horse. I mean, very, very expensive. But it was devastating, you know, for everybody to see it. A guy coming out, swinging, and then all of a sudden, the back legs just quit working as if he broke his back. And he had to get off and keep the horse calm. Well, I don't know about y'all, but that's a major trial. That's a major thing to have to go through in your mind, right? Well, he ended up having to get on a different horse and you know, wasn't the one that he was prepared for. And they didn't do any good, but they got on a plane and headed to Austin last night to the finals. It was the finals at Austin's Rodeo. And that boy and his partner ended up winning Austin. Here's the point I want you to see, is there's going to be tribulation and a trial, and if you allow that to dominate you, what if he would have got into fear? What if he would have got into doubting? Maybe the enemy saying, well, this is not what you're supposed to do in life. This is God trying to tell you that you're off the right, wrong road, and you need to get over here. God's trying to teach you a lesson. That's hogwash. Because remember, God's good. And the devil is. So when there's a trial or a tribulation in someone's life, how you handle it is how you come out. And I'm telling you, even though it was a tragedy where a boy has lost his horse possibly, he was blessed with winning Austin's Rodeo is one of the biggest wins of the year. You see how God, how you handle things is how you come out on top. Because I'm telling you, if that team would have got into fear and doubt and unbelief, it would have affected that run and the next runs and the next runs. But your God, if you behave like a Christian and you handle things right, then that's when you speak to the mountain and you command the mountain, which might be a trial or tribulation, to be cast into the sea. Just don't doubt in your heart. But believe everything that comes out of your mouth will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. Go ahead. You should clap for the word of God, because that's hope. That's behaving like a Christian and not getting down in the middle of a trial and tribulation, building a tent so that you're there for a long period of time. No. You get on through that trial. You get on through that tribulation. You get on through that obstacle, and you overcome fear by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, because you behave like a Christian. Why? Because you know who you are in Christ. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You can do all things through Christ, which then will produce strength in your life. You're a winner. Come on. That devil's tried to get you down long enough. We've got to start behaving like Christians. If not, you'll behave like the world. And I'm telling you, it will be up and down. Well, up and down. Y'all got it though, right? But I'm proud of y'all. Proud of you. Because there's a lot of people that get lazy and don't come to church. And I'm proud of y'all because of your faithfulness. Even when the devil's saying, I'm tired. I've been serving in this church for 20 years. No, you keep serving, because that's who you are. You're a king's kid. Yep, we might do some wrong things. Please forgive us. Forgive them. We don't do them on purpose. But by golly, I want to behave like a Christian. How about you? Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that we received this message by faith, that in order to come through the trials and tribulations of this world, living in the world but not of it, we have to start behaving like Christians that live in a different kingdom. We don't live like the world, so we got to learn the difference between the world system and your system. So, Father, help us. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for who speaks into our life. And we want to make sure it's our ground is good and that the seed of the Word of God produces. It harvests. So, Father, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we're dismissed, or right before we're dismissed, is Jesus your Lord? I'm talking about if you died and left this earth and you stood before God Almighty. Do you know what He's going to say? He's going to say one of two things. If Jesus is the Lord of your life and you've asked Him to come in, Romans 10:9. If you confessed Jesus with your mouth, invited Him into your heart, and then believed that He was raised from the dead, when you stand before God with Jesus as Lord, He'll say, well done, come on into heaven. Enter the rest, heaven, the joy of the Lord. But, as we always say here, He's not a man that He could lie. If you choose, since God gave us all a will, we can say yes to Him or no to Him. If you choose to not receive Jesus, He has to say on that great judgment day, depart. Ladies and gentlemen, and anybody that's watching, I don't want Him to say depart to even my worst enemy. I want Him to say, well done. But in order for Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you have to give your heart to Jesus. If you don't know what would happen to you when you died and left this earth, you don't know if there's heaven or hell, you need to pray this prayer with all of us. And pray it out loud and ask Jesus to come into your life. So I'll pray it, you pray it after me, and all the believers around you will pray it with you. Are you ready? Say out of your mouth, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life, into my heart, and save me. Forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Thank you, Jesus, for being my friend. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And right now, I'm saved. Going to heaven when I leave this earth. But I want to have heaven here while I live on this earth. So teach me. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand straight up. All you're saying is, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I gave my heart to you this morning for the first time. And then just put your hand down. That's all you're doing. When I count to three, get that hand up if you just gave your heart to Jesus. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father. So don't ever be ashamed of Jesus becoming your Lord. And if it was today, when I say three, get that hand up, put it right back down. One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Very proud of you. Anybody else? Make sure I see it. Just put it up. Right back down. If you got a Bible, then I saw your hand. If they didn't hand you a Bible, then just place it up, put it right back down. If you just gave your heart to Jesus. Anybody else? All right, look at me. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you. I'm so honored. Thank you, Jesus. All right.